Receiving congregational feedback during a sermon. That's our topic for today on the SermonCoach.com podcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking, as we always do, with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, have you ever been in a church service when a preacher asks for congregational feedback in the middle of his or her sermon?
I have very good memories of a time I saw this done. I'm from the Chicagoland area. There are many universities, colleges there. This was in a college setting where it was a young congregation. I would say that probably two-thirds were college age. There were maybe, 200 at least, maybe 250 people there. It was in the round. The speaker talked from the center rather than a normal church where you have people in pews out in front of you. So there wasn't a long distance from where he was to where the people were. They didn't have to run with mics to where the people were so they could be heard. And what he did was absolutely astounding to me. He kept that thing moving very quickly. I thought I could no more do that than fly to the moon, but I was very, very impressed with him. And I thought, you know, he involved that congregation in a way that was absolutely amazing. Could he have done that in a normal church building? I don't think he could have pulled it off the same way, because he was able to wander close to where the people were, and when they make a comment, he was almost standing next to them because there were aisles in this circle. But he was masterful. Now, he was a college professor, and he was very used to that kind of thing. And I thought that was great. I have also seen other ministers try to do this, and it's been terrible. Often, as they've tried to do this in college settings again, I've thought, I don't think that person was real prepared, and this was a time eater. It was getting people to talk. And really, what the people said was far removed from anything that was the direction of where the sermon was going. And to me, it didn't work at all. Now, maybe some of the people felt like they were involved because they were asked for their opinion. I also have found that in certain churches where I attended more than once, it seemed like it was the same people who talked every time as they went into this. It's kind of like, how do we reach the millennials, which I think is a very good question. And I find myself enamored with that question because I don't think you're going to get millennials to do the role that's been traditional, which is just sit and listen. They want to participate. But at the same time, the difference between the good illustration I mentioned and the bad ones, there were miles between those. And so I'm not sure that just asking for it without the skill to pull that off is a good thing. I know I am not there yet. I know that I have a long way to go. I actually went up to the gentleman who did that morning, who was the college professor, and I said to him, "You're absolutely amazing. I have never seen anything like that." I think it was, you know, and he was kind of surprised that anyone would say, because it was so natural to him. So I have a long way to go in terms of asking for participation on the part of a congregation. It seemed to me, no matter what somebody said, he was going to go in a given direction anyway. So he got their involvement, and somehow, I don't know if he had planted those people ahead of time. It's like they said exactly what needed to be said for what he was doing, and yet it all seemed very genuine, so more power to him. I am not good at it, but I'm teachable.
Have you ever tried this yourself?
I try it all the time. I'm very good at it, but in a different way than you're asking me. I get congregational feedback before I preach the sermon. How's that?
Okay, so you do try it in that you get the feedback, but at a different time. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, I would say that it is almost just a routine with me that I will call people in the course of my sermon preparation. I have figured out what my subject is. Usually I start with a text. What is the subject of that text? And then what is the response that the text is calling for, or that I've decided is the proper response because the text didn't necessarily call for it. So I have a subject and a response. And at that point, I begin calling people. Sometimes I'll actually have a meeting that I've called of people, and I will say, this is what my subject is. This is the response that's being called for. Does that sound like something that's good? Sometimes they'll say, you're right on. Good for you. Other times they'll say, that's not really where I am in my life. I've heard a lot of sermons on that already, you know. So I'm open to the feedback, and it's actually before the sermon is preached, if you put it that way, that I'm getting my feedback. And I'm very comfortable with that. I've done it so many times that I don't have any problem asking and being able to evaluate whether the feedback I'm getting from these individuals is helpful or not. That's good, and maybe what I do would be just as amazing to other people. But it's just second nature to me because I say, why go up and for the first time anybody hears what I'm working on, do it on Sunday morning when I have all kinds of opportunities to run this by people ahead of time and fine tune it because of their input. And to me, I'm very comfortable with that. And the truth is I include, because I've done it so many times, I include college students in that process because sometimes they're the most constructively critical. College students, if you ask for their opinion, they have opinions. I like that because I want to be the best I can. Sometimes if you get older people, you get the feeling that they tell you what they think you want to hear. But college students aren't that way. They tell you pretty much what they think. Sometimes I could wring their necks. But for the most part, I would say that I'm very grateful to them because they have improved my preaching tremendously.
I suppose there are even times when you end up having to make some real big changes to things because of the way they respond. Have you ever taken note of how those individuals attend to the sermon? When I say attend, I don't mean show up on Sunday morning, but one of the things that a public speaker spends time on is trying to figure out how to get people to pay attention, or we use the word attend. You know, you can tell whether a congregation or an audience is attending by how many people are looking around or how many people are reading something, maybe the bulletin in a church, their eye contact or lack of eye contact, whether they're yawning, all of those kinds of physical signs give you some indication of how well people attend. I'm curious if you've ever noted that the people that have been involved in the process tend to attend more to the sermon than...
Yeah, I'm saying yes, that's exactly what happens. They become my greatest supporters. I've never had any of them say, you know, after all the help I gave you, you really messed that up. That never has happened. And I've done this literally hundreds of times. But they are the ones who tell me that Sunday before I get up to preach what they call their sermon, they say, been praying for you, Pastor.
That's an amazing thing. There's a church leadership guru or prominent person by the name of Norman Shavchuk. Shavchuk has written a number of books very helpful to pastors. Some who are listening to us may know of his work. Shavchuk says people tend to support what they help create.
That's really interesting.
People tend to support what they help create. So here we are. It's our sermon.
Yes.
Love that sense.
Yeah, they do that, and I'm praying for you. And for the most part, they don't remember what they said anyway. You know, they don't think you didn't pay any attention. And the truth of the matter is most of the time I do pay attention, and it gets to be a part of what I put together. But by the time I've preached it, they can't remember whether they said that or Pete said it or Michelle said it. You know, it just, it was all them together. Usually, I'm talking about 4 or 5 people in a group at the most. Sometimes I've met in Starbucks. A lot of times I meet at the house. I've met at colleges. I've met at other people's homes. And usually I'm working, I'm talking about a week and a half ahead of time. So it's not some long distance thing. It's also quite true that often I will ask one of them or two of them to be a part of that given service. You know, instead of me doing the prayer, would you do the prayer that morning? And they know exactly where the sermon's going and they pray these beautiful prayers. I've had many times where people will say, I got an illustration for you, Pastor. And I'd say, okay, and then I get it, and I think, that is really good, because it's not out of my sermon books. It's out of their world. They begin to think that I'm more read than I really am, because I'm quoting guys I never would quote otherwise. I feel that in time, Dean, the pews will be a thing of the past. I think that the whole sanctuary, the way it is to a large degree, is going to be much more communal. It's going to be movable chairs, which is where most churches that are new are. They build a lot of churches with pews now, but the movable chairs and I think the circular arrangement will be much more common in the days that are ahead. I just see this as the direction it's all going. How long I will be around to see where it eventually ends up, I don't know. We're not talking necessarily question-answer, that's a whole other thing. You can do question-answer in a normal church building with pews. You just have to make sure people are mic'd if it's a large auditorium. But we're talking about actual involvement in the sermon itself. Usually question-answer are going to be, after the sermon is over, was it clear to you or not? And that's an afterthought more than it is in the process of whole presentation. But I like it. I think it has made me a better preacher. There's not a question in my mind. I'm not nearly as in a world all to myself as a lot of ministers could be if they don't get feedback from other people as to what they are saying.
It's usually better to get congregational feedback prior to preaching a sermon rather than during it.
I think that's true. And then I will say the exception is that one guy I heard who was really, really good at getting it. Yet he restricted it. He had it in check in the sense that the sermon didn't get away from him. But he was very good at that. So if he's listening to us and he knows who he is because I commended him so highly at the end, you can disregard everything I've said. Otherwise, pay attention.
We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found our podcast on our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons, and we invite you to browse through those resources. We also invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.